Great. Welcome. Late afternoon session. My name is Andrew Bybee with the Skype for Business team. I'm going to be joined by some colleagues today, David and Sri. I'll introduce them more formally in just a minute. We're here to talk about how you can now start to bring real-time communications capabilities into your custom apps and services with the capabilities of Skype for Business. And so as we look at that, I'm actually going to start by sort of re-emphasizing a message you've been hearing sort of across a bunch of the sessions, especially as it relates to Office, which is as you look at sort of our story for developers and API schemes, we're starting from a sort of collection of data, and you're thinking about people, you're thinking about content. But most importantly, as we look forward, you're going to start to think about communications in relation to all of this other material that you're now starting to work with, both in terms of being able to mine the conversations that are in the graph, but as well as being able to actually interact and participate in those conversations directly so that you can now start to draw insights out of all of that information and start to bring that back to your interactions with your customers, your end users, et cetera. So as we think about that, then there is a set of information that we've been covering and across the Office sessions. I'm not going to go into depth on all these. I encourage you to check out some of the other sessions for those. But it's really about harmonizing this story of being able to connect your services to this powerful data and then being able to actually bring your experiences and embed them inside of what our Office canvases are providing across documents, across conversations, and across pages. So again, this is a sort of a common theme that you should be seeing across the sessions for Office, but it is really about trying to take advantage and leverage the breadth of clients that we have and the experience of the users there, and then being able to actually now start to embed communications directly inside of what you're doing. So let's just drill a little bit in terms of the story for how you start to build on top of these and in some of the real communications pieces that are actually part of the graph itself. The foundation of the work that we're bringing to the table here is really starting from the networks that we're connecting on the communication side. And obviously, part of that is the Skype for Business, Office 365, the tens of millions of clients that we have running on that side. But it's also about the 300 plus million active users for Skype. And with the ability of our cloud voice capabilities is part of Office 365 now, the ability to connect you actually via the cloud to the rest of the world via PSTN as well. So you now have the ability to have a broad first-party network of communications as well as access to external communications as well. Now, the foundation for this is really a set of workloads that we are in the process of basically building out common APIs for. And you can see this across a collection of these. We're talking a lot about messaging and chat as it relates to bot framework, and as we look forward, you'll start to see this apply more to things like calling and meetings. But it's also about bringing together a much richer value proposition that's about managing communications and how you actually put all these things together into end-to-end solutions. And then finally, when we think about the authoring experiences, this is about delivering a new set of cross-platform capabilities for building your apps, whether it's native devices on Android or iOS, being able to build actually .NET or JavaScript-based, web-based clients. So this platform really enables a broad variety of experiences. And so what we want to do is to talk about some key sort of patterns for that. One of the first key patterns is being able to actually connect your service into conversations. And you see this in a lot of other sessions in relation to how we think about bots. And one thing to sort of recognize as we look here on bots is that bots are incredibly impactful, and the ability to have those working with digital assistants like Cortana opens up a whole sort of opportunity for interaction and new interactions and reminders sort of across the board. You saw hopefully some of the work in the keynote this morning from Terry about being able to take Cortana notifications, bring those across your different devices, and being able to sort of use those to drive a consistency of experience. So these are incredibly impactful, incredibly important, and you'll see more from us here in just a second on our support for bots and Skype for Business. But I also want to call out that there's an additional set of what we think of as trusted application services that are especially critical in the communication space. And so whether it's for things like managing call flows and routing, whether it's for things like how I'm handling my interactions inside of multi-party conversations, or things like compliance and archival. These are all aspects that are important services for managing those comms that we're also focused on enabling as we think about the communication story going forward. So with that, today, what you've seen, last year we launched a channel for Bot Framework. Obviously, we launched Bot Framework itself, the initial set of channels for that, starting with our Skype consumer offer channel. And in fact, you'll see that inside of that, we have both experiences for chat, as well as for a Skype calling API that lets you sort of drive core calling experiences to Skype clients. With the opening up of the developer preview for Teams, we've now added the official support for a Teams channel as well, and so you have the ability to now, with your bot, be able to reach out to that Teams experience and get a great, rich experience for how I can now start to work across those different types of interactions. There's a lot of stuff that we're making available from a developer platform perspective as part of the Teams client framework, so I strongly encourage you, if you haven't checked it out, go check out the session that we delivered around that. A lot of very, very interesting things that are driving there. So today, we're really happy to talk about then the introduction of the Skype for Business channel for Bot Framework. And this, again, is in a developer preview, so it's still fairly early. But recognize that this is a different type of a channel than the Teams channel. Teams channel is really our full fidelity channel as you think about sort of business communications, the richness of cards, and all the other pieces that you can do there. When you think about Skype for Business, we have a lot of different clients that are connected to Skype for Business. And so when you think about those clients, it presents a sort of another sort of branch of our network for you to be able to communicate with. And so this means everything down to, you know, sort of Office Skype for Business 2015, Link 2013, even in some cases older clients, and being able to actually have that core chat experience. But the other thing that's really sort of key about this is the Skype for Business channel actually enables you to have an IT-managed bot story. And this is really the first time that you're going to see this pop up with respect to Bot Framework. A lot of the Bot Framework capabilities that we've been talking about in the last year have been around public bots, right? So I'm going to have a bot store, and users can start and manage their relationship with those bots, and it's very much the user starts the conversation and then the bot comes in. But there's a whole other set of interactions where, in fact, as an enterprise developer, you want to be able to actually start those conversations first from the bot. You want to be able to reach out to the users in your directory. You want to be able to actually organize that conversation in a way that makes sense from a business rules perspective. And so with the Skype for Business channel, we've actually now enabled that model. Again, still a developer preview, but it becomes now an important enabling vector for being able to have a whole new set of conversations that in fact are trusted conversations. So that bot has the ability to have full access to the directory, it has the ability to see the other users in the organization, it has the ability to look at things like user profile data, and so a lot of those pieces now unlock a lot of really important internal enterprise communication scenarios. Now the last piece I'll point out here is that in the current preview, we have support for being able to have that bot operate inside of the context of that Office 365 tenant. As we look forward, we expect to be able to bring that capability now both to our hybrid environments. So if you have organizations that are running a mixture of Skype for Business server on-prem and Skype for Business online, that in fact you'll be able to reach those on-prem users through that same channel. As long as they've set up that hybrid configuration, being able to actually facilitate that kind of reach now becomes, again, part of expanding the reach of your bot in the enterprise. And then as we look at Federation, obviously Federation is a core capability of Skype for Business, the ability to reach out to other tenants, to other organizations in Skype for Business, and have conversations. We are looking at models for how we will enable that Federation approach, and again, that just increases the size of the network that you'll be able to reach in that sort of controlled way. So these are important new steps with Skype for Business channel. It's early, so I encourage you to go check it out. We're going to have a demo here in just a second to walk you through sort of what's there. And with that, let me go ahead and introduce David Newman, who is the core guy that's been driving this work here. And he's going to walk us through sort of what's the latest on the bot framework side.
Great. Thanks, Andy. So let's go over to my machine here, and let's take a look at the bot framework with Skype for Business in action. So like Andy mentioned, we're excited this week to announce the developer preview of the Skype for Business channel. So if you're familiar with bot framework, what we're looking at here is just the bot framework portal. Provides you a lot of tools to get started with building bots using the framework and SDKs that are provided that give you access to some of the powerful tools like the Lewis language understanding model for bots directly through the channel. So what you'll see new here, besides the new UI that Bot Framework released this week, which provides a nice view of all the different channels you can actually enable now with Bot Framework using a single set of code for your bots. We've now added this Skype for Business channel. And like Andy mentioned, the way that Skype for Business bots are added to a Skype for Business environment is through an IT-managed process. And so when you actually go to look at adding a Skype for Business bot to a tenant for your customers, the way we do that is through a simple PowerShell script. So all your tenant admin actually has to do is run a single line of PowerShell script to be able to enable their bot for their entire tenant. And so this is available now in developer preview for any Skype for Business online customer can now go and enable these bots for Skype for Business. So we saw a little bit of the registration. Let's actually take a look. I went and pre-registered a couple bots. So let's actually go to the Skype for Business client and take a look. The first one we're going to look at is just a simple sample that's included as a part of the Bot Builder SDK. It uses some Lewis language understanding and calls some back-end services, a stock service from Bing, to be able to have an interaction model for me to come and get stock prices through a conversational interface. A very simple bot, but again, it's an example of just one of the bot samples that is running in the other channels that you can now run today within Skype for Business. So I'll say, you know, what's the price? Let's say, what's the price of MSFT, let's see what that looks like. And then my bot, again, is gonna go and pull the real-time bot information. Because we have the Lewis language understanding model, I can be kind of flexible in the way that I'm asking questions. So, you know, I can say, tell me the price of, let's look at the Dow. And it's gonna come back and give me information. I can, you know, have a conversational style, like say, you know, how about now? Has that changed? We know the markets are closed, so it should hopefully stay the same. And again, so just a simple response bot, just an example of how you can take the bots you've already built with Bot Framework for other channels and now enable those for your internal enterprise users. Now let's take a look at some of the newer scenarios that Andy mentioned that we can enable specifically within Skype for Business. So the first scenario that we're gonna look at, like Andy mentioned, is because these are IT-enabled bots and IT admin-managed bots, our bots can actually proactively reach out to users in a notification scenario. So in this case, I have a notifications bot that I wrote. I'm gonna go through and I'm just gonna say, you know, hi to that bot. This bot actually allows me to send out alerts, and this will proactively send out alerts to users in my organization. So what I'm gonna do is actually gonna say, you know, send emergency alerts to employees in building 10. Now, because it's an IT-managed bot, this bot actually has access to the Microsoft Graph, and so we've built this as a service app that can now access the Graph API to have access to the full directory of that Office 365 tenant. So this bot not only knows my identity, it also knows the identity of users within the organization because this tenant admin has given permissions to this bot for Graph API. And so I'm gonna send this emergency. I'm just gonna make sure I'm gonna be logged in here just on my mobile client for Skype for Business as a user within Building 10. I'll go and just have that bot send out the notification, and we'll see that I actually just got now a notification over here actually on my phone, which you can't see, but I just immediately got a message from that notification bot. I got an emergency alert from this specific user. So the bot actually has context of the user identity within the tenant. So these are kind of interesting scenarios. Let's take a look at what a real world scenario for Skype for Business might actually look like. So the last bot I'm gonna show is how you can use the power of Bot Framework to work within a real enterprise scenario. So in this case, I'm showing a meeting scheduling bot. And like I mentioned, because this is IT managed, I actually gave this bot permissions to the Microsoft Graph API. So I'm gonna go and say hi to my scheduling bot. What this bot is gonna do for me is give me the ability to actually go and schedule meetings through a conversational interface. So it says, hi, I'm a bot, I can create meetings. You know, I'm gonna say book meeting for tomorrow, and we'll see if I have any free slots on my calendar for tomorrow. Great. So because this bot has access to Graph API, it can see that I have available slots on my calendar for tomorrow. I can go and say, let's do it at 8. Great. So as I'm booking, it's going to say, who do I want to include on that? For now, let's include Andy on that meeting. And we'll go over there. The bot can actually now go, because it has access to Graph, it can act on my behalf and go schedule a meeting for me. So I'm going to say book. And that's going to go book, create an event. And what it actually did is through Graph API, it acted on my behalf and actually sent out a meeting invite over to Andy. So Andy's going to get an invite for 8 a.m. tomorrow for that meeting. So Graph opens up a lot of additional intelligence capabilities. Like, for example, there's a find meeting times API that it can actually take two users and find meeting slots that would be open between the two of them. What we've done here now is expose that to our enterprise users through a conversational interface. I no longer have to go into Outlook, find a meeting time that might work, add participants, and send it out. I can just do this all through my Skype for Business client. So that's an example of an enterprise scenario you can enable with the new Skype for Business channel.
And the last piece I'll mention on that one is that there's obviously a lot of sophistication you can put inside of those types of bots, right? So you can do lots of language parsing, you can do lots of sophistication about looking at Graph. But the most important thing is once you've built that for bot framework, all you have to do is enable for the Skype for Business channel, and now you have all of that same logic and interaction. So it, in fact, is a highly leveraged investment and easy now to be able to have those bots basically turned on without having to worry about whether you're going to have to get every single user to come and find the bot and configure the bot, right? It'll just be available. The last piece that I'll mention is that you'll notice that when we were looking at the Skype for Business client, that, in fact, the Skype for Business client is really showing the directory. And so this is a case where, again, with these managed bots, you have the ability to start adding more profile information because they're part of your enterprise to be able to do that. So there's absolutely a role for both. You'll see clear need for cases where you want those public bots and you want the directory. And there are going to be cases where, in fact, you want those trusted experiences that you can manage inside of your organization and your enterprise.
And like Andy said, this is available now today, developer preview. You can go check that out on dev.botframework.com. And as well, we have updated MSDN documentation here where you can go and learn how you can create a bot, enable it for your enterprise, enable new features.
Awesome.
Great. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, David. A little bit of clap for that one. Come on, guys. All right. Very good. So, one of the concepts that we've talked about here that I just want to kind of emphasize for the discussion is that with this model, basically, we are enabling you to create actual endpoints inside of the enterprise, inside of your Azure Active Directory. So in this case, then, it allows you to take your app that you're building out, take your bot, your AAD application. You're going to go ahead and actually register that. So this is part of what the registration step does when you actually add that channel, is it adds it inside of your existing tenant. And then at the point that you now want it to be able to actually provision or deploy that same app, that same bot, into a customer's environment, you actually can go ahead and take that and register that now inside of that partner environment. And once you're there, part of that step is actually allowing you to now, when you want to talk with Skype for Business Online, you actually can create not just a endpoint, not just a single endpoint, but you can in fact have that same bot respond on multiple endpoints. And you can use that endpoint to actually help describe and configure some of the information. So for example, if you wanted to have the same bot that could handle IT help desk as well as like a sales help desk, or if you wanted to have a bot, one endpoint that was for US support and another one that was for European support, these are all aspects that you can now use that endpoint to help inform kind of what type of context the user is actually coming into the conversation with. So we think bot framework here actually opens up a bunch of opportunities, and this, the combination of this with the trusted model that the Skype for Business channel is enabling, we think also opens up a bunch of opportunities to now actually start thinking about selling those commercial bot scenarios into the organization and the enterprise. Okay, so the next sort of section to think about then is where does this go? How does this start to move forward? And so as we think about these things moving forward, we're thinking in a much sort of broader way. And you're going to see more from us on this later in the calendar year. But we really think about communications as enabling a whole set of categories of solutions. And these are all solutions that are effectively participating and driving the conversation. But this can span a wide variety of capabilities, everything from sort of core kind of call control. When you saw some of the experiences that you saw in the keynote yesterday about being able to do sort of translation, transcription of meeting information, conversations that are happening inside of there, being able to do things like provide an attendant console or an auto attendant that can answer the phone, be able to redirect those things. We deliver sort of an out-of-box version of that with our cloud voice offering today. You'll see more of that from us in terms of the ability for you as developers to be able to build those types of solutions and deliver them in the tenant. And then it gets into some even sort of more sophisticated scenarios around things like data loss prevention. So you're going to see a bunch of these sort of capabilities start to emerge as we sort of build out our model here for a communications platform that really then allows you to get the most out of your client experiences and your framework experiences inside of Office. All right, so let's pivot and let's really talk then about sort of the other part of that sort of platform diagram that we looked at the beginning. So we've talked a lot about the services and how you start to connect with those. And now the question is, okay, so what about being able to now bring that in into my application and start having different types of conversations inside of my app that allow me to connect to that same network? And so we've talked about sort of this general scenario around line of business app integration for quite some time. And we've been working with some key partners to be able to get those things together. Now, one of the examples of those is that we have, I don't know where we said this one was. So we have some examples here in terms of partners like Salesforce that are actually delivering what we call the Skype for Salesforce integration. And so the Skype for Salesforce integration is something that's actually built in. It's available in open beta today. And what it starts to enable is while I'm working actually in my Salesforce application, I can now start to actually see information directly inside of Salesforce without having to look or switch over to my Skype for Business desktop client. Now, some of these things are things that you're kind of maybe spoiled about or used to inside of Outlook, for example. And so the ability for me to sign in to see that I have presence. And so in this case, if I'm signed in as Ben and I want to see if Andy's available, I can go ahead and actually just message directly from inside of this. And you'll notice that now I have the ability to very quickly jump in, and you'll see that I'm actually able to get that notification from my client. So I can say hi. And if I want, I can actually even go ahead and should be able to start a video call. You'll notice this is doing plug-in free with Edge. And we'll start the experience. Hopefully this shows up. Call started. No, there's a bug for you. So in any case, you can start to see how this starts to come together with sort of an experience without having to necessarily leave the client experience here at all. But it also allows you to actually do with fully integrated audio video as part of the Edge sort of framework. So as we look forward on these, then what you start to see is that these types of lines of business application integrations are something that you can, in fact, enable in a broad variety of use cases. And so we've seen a wide variety of partners do that. So folks like Salesforce, applications like Smartsheet, whether it's in the health advisor sort of space, we see these start to actually sort of get picked up. Earlier this year, we actually had an interesting sort of partnership that we were able to start talking more about with respect to a different type of embedded experience. In this case, it was embedded in your vehicle. And so you saw some of this in the keynote yesterday about sort of the, hey, I'm going to talk to Cortana in the vehicle. But we've actually been working with Volvo to actually get this out directly. So talk to you about sort of what that looks like today.
In a fast-paced world, Volvo Cars understands the need to stay connected while on the move. Communication and productivity tools for office environments have solved many work-related challenges. Virtual conferences and video calls are now a common feature of the business world. with the addition of Microsoft's Skype for Business app, Volvo will eliminate the need for fumbling with your phone while driving or remembering long conference call codes. It will make in-car communication faster, easier, and safer. Skype for Business takes the in-car conference to the next level by enabling you to connect your calendar-based calls via a simple touch of the center display. And when you're done with your conference call, you can always record a note and send it to yourself as a reminder with the Record and Send app. We see a future where autonomous drive opens up a completely new approach to in-car communication. This is just the start of Volvo Car's journey to redefine in-car productivity and make life easier for people on the move.
So it's an example of some work that we've been doing with around sort of connected cars and how you can start to bring the experience forward in a different type of application, a different type of context, in this case, your vehicle. She was a very happy meeting participant. I don't know if I'm usually smiling quite that much when I'm in meetings, especially while I'm driving. But so some good opportunities there. So what have we actually delivered to facilitate trying to build some of these types of experiences? Well, the core part of this is really founding on the sort of communications platform capabilities that we have enabled already. And so that's really based off of sort of this per-user-based model. So it's basically about allowing you to sign in as effectively another endpoint in your Skype for Business network. And then over the top of that, that set of RESTful services that are exposed today, exposed messaging, presence, the ability to create ad hoc meetings and to be able to join and schedule those things, as well as integration in with the existing OAuth behavior for Azure Active Directory. And then when you look, the experience that we have today with the WebSDK supports an object model over the top of that, as well as the ability to actually have embedded audio video, which you saw with the example I was just showing. And as part of that, then we've also then recently in February announced the general availability for our app SDKs for iOS and for Android. And so this allows you to actually build up, again, those integrated audio video experiences directly inside of your app to be able to start building out those types of conversational models that include both text as well as messaging or audio and video. Now, today, one of the things we want to just sort of highlight for you is that when we talked about some of these capabilities earlier in the year, they were still effectively controlled at the tenant admin level, effectively still as part of preview. Today, in fact, we're able to announce that those are now opened up for user-level authentication as well. So, in fact, you can write any of your apps and sort of use the standard user OAuth flows for being able to actually allow those users to talk to that app. So that's actually a good way to start unlocking these applications for more than past the tenant sort of admin stage. And then we also have been supporting audio video and preview for quite some time. And so at this point, we are going to be taking the plugin-based video that we have, which works in IE, Edge, and Safari, and actually going to be moving that into the production keys for the release. And so you'll be able to start to use those in your production environments. And so we're very excited about being able to now start having those scenarios enabled. Now, one of the scenarios that we're actually really focused on and very excited about, in February we actually announced some work around something we call Remote Advisor. And this allows you to actually start addressing some of these digital channel scenarios that you see in the organization. Now, there's a bunch you can do with digital channels. Chat is a key one of those things. But when you start to talk about voice and video, it kind of brings in a different set of expectations. Some of those expectations are that when you are building voice and video, you don't want to have your user go through a bunch of overhead in terms of what they're having to download or what they're having to sign into. And you really just want it to be kind of a single touch kind of experience. And at the same point, when you bring that video into your organization, you want to make sure that that is aligned with your deployment for enterprise voice and video. So aligned with Skype for Business and integrated in with your agent experience on the backside, whatever that might happen to look like. Now, we see this as being facilitated with your bot investments and your digital assistants and using that to be able to then drive these kind of multimodal conversations, these multi-channel conversations. So text with voice and video. But instead of just me talking about it, what I'd like to do is actually have Srividya and Billy Clay Myers come up. Billy Clay Myers is actually the core developer that has been working on a scenario of this exact type for Tenet Healthcare, which is a customer of ours. And so we're going to have them talk through how that's going.
Hi, everybody. I'm Srividya Chandrasekaran.
I'm Billy Clay Myers with Tenet Healthcare.
And we're going to demonstrate and talk about certain scenarios here that we have released in very recently, like Andy was saying, in February. The scenario that Billy has been working diligently with us is a remote advisor scenario for Tenet Healthcare. We have a couple of portals here. We have a doctor portal that has a list of patients. It has a dashboard that shows who are all the patients that are available. And he also has developed an iPhone app that goes along with it that's used on the patient side. Now, if you think about it, how many of you have encountered a scenario wherein you are on a vacation and you fall sick? You are hiking somewhere and you end up with a bad rash and you want to consult with your doctor to see what is going on. There are scenarios wherein you have a remote rural patient that is actually trying to get some advice or health consult with a regional headquarters or hospital there. So those are some of the scenarios that we have tried to enable with this one here. Let me give you a quick demo of this one. Billy is going to play my doctor. He's going to be Dr. Alex. It's his portal over here. And let me bring up the app in just a second. So what I have over here... What I have over here is the iPhone app. Just a basic app where you have the user login, user use his username, password. I log in over here, just like how you go to your doctor's office and you validate all your information. I have a screen, I look at all my existing information. Next, and then again, you confirm your pharmacy every time you go there for prescriptions to be sent directly. I check my pharmacy, I confirm it, and then here comes the interesting aspect of it. It provides me a list of symptoms. I can select one or multiple symptoms here, and all of this information will go back to my doctor as part of this record, so he can actually look through my symptoms and just figure out what's going on before I even join it. So he actually has that base information there. So now, let's say...
One thing to sort of point out, this is the account with Tenet at this point. So this is not some. This is not your consumer account. This is your health account that you have with Tenet. So all the data that you're providing here is under the context of HIPAA and all the other sort of regulations and rules that are supported as part of the provider story.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's walk through the rest of the patient portal here. So I have a backache here. I go and then verify my insurance information and all of that. Then I proceed to the waiting room. A few interesting things that you will see here is actually it gives me what is my line number in the waiting room as well and how much time I've been. This is very useful information because if I am like, say, 50 or 100 or something, I can always decide to come back later. Now let's switch over to the doctor's portal here just so you see that view. Over here, you actually see that the doctor is able to see that you have a new patient available with the specific symptoms, and he picks me, and he can actually go through all the details that I have provided. I have mechanisms to provide additional information, additional symptoms. Once he reviews my information, he can click the join button. As soon as he clicks the join button, it's almost instantaneous. I get a notification on my phone. If you could switch over to my phone. Wherein it actually says that it's actually ringing and the doctor is ready to take you. I accept the call here, and it connects me with my doctor, and right away I have this very, very personal experience. And now, hi, Dr. Alex. I am hiking in Peru, and I have this skin rash. Could you give me some suggestions, please?
I don't know about that. We'll see.
So there you have the personal experience, just like you are chatting with your doctor in the doctor's office itself. So that is one example over here.
Yep.
And we do have another example, which is sort of a lot more forward-looking, and I think you guys will be very interested in taking a look at it. So the example that we have over here is we have used our Skype Web SDK inside of a HoloLens. And this in some of the scenarios that we can think of over here is, say you have a technician that is servicing an oil and gas company somewhere in some remote oil rig, right? Or you have a technician that's trying to check something in an elevator shaft, and he sees the problem, but he doesn't exactly understand how to diagnose it. You have the subject matter expert that's probably 900 miles away in the headquarters. How are you going to help scenarios like that? So that is the example that I want to show here. Yeah. Like I said, I have the Skype Web SDK inside of my HoloLens app. I have a custom app here, and I'm just purely on Skype desktop client here.
Now, so Sri's going to walk off stage. Don't be alarmed. She's okay. Now, one of the things that we want to sort of point out here is that this is a very early proof of concept prototype. We're not announcing anything about support for HoloLens yet, but just to give you a sense of how we're looking at this kind of going forward, how you start to think about that expert and how you bring the room into some of that remote advisor kind of possibilities. And so in this case, Sri is going to be looking at it, and if she's in some site, I don't have the sort of cool scene that they did with the keynote yesterday with the jackhammer and the people in costume and things like that. So you guys can be my virtual crowd. But she's, you know, going to be looking at this information, and she hits to a point where she is maybe having trouble or having a question about how she can now start to connect. Now, part of what she has to do there is normally with her HoloLens, she would have already oriented it for the environment and scanned it and made sure she understood where all the surfaces were and kind of what's there. And then once she actually has all that information there, then she can start to reason over some of the information and the sort of material that's actually in the room itself. How's it coming, Sri?
So I'm going to actually try to place the call here, Andy.
Okay.
Let's see if the device doesn't remap the space.
So now we get the call. So this is her calling from her HoloLens. And you'll notice that we're actually sort of getting a little bit of a first-person shooter vibe here, right? So now we're able to see kind of what she's doing. Now, first thing to note is this is actually using the camera output from the HoloLens wirelessly in through Skype into your PC over here. So I just want to kind of note that typically when you see the HoloLens demo, you've got the guy with the heavy-duty camera walking around trying to show you the HoloLens itself. In a very real-world situation, you're going to see what they see, and this is actually a great example for being able to put these things together. Now, she has some equipment there that she's got some questions about, and so what's your question, Sri?
So I have this very, very old PBX board, Andy, and I am really not sure I have used this before. I have some data about it, but I'm not sure that I can try to debug or diagnose what the problem is here.
Yeah. So as she's getting the call, you notice that she's got sort of a virtual pointer there. And so part of what she's doing is with HoloLens, you can start to basically air tap on things that you're interested in. And so in this case, the demo basically has a hologram that is now sort of coming up based on the subject matter that she's trying to attach. But it does kind of depend on it getting mapped.
Yes, I think it is trying to find the device and try to map that up. You can see that the screens are coming through.
Yep.
And I'm trying to figure out what is it that I can do about this specific piece of hardware here. Do you have any suggestions, Andy, on this, on how I can try to debug this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little dark on that side.
All right, I'll bring that up. I'll bring it over there so you can probably take a look at it.
All
so
right.
Maybe we can have a better resolution.
Great.
All right.
All right, so video straight from the sort of HoloLens over Skype with the call, and we'll see if maybe we can get the hologram thing to pop up. Like I said, very early proof of concept, but wanted to give you a sense of sort of how we see that starting to move forward with your ability to start bringing, again, that enterprise identity, that authentication story directly in with the experience there. With that, why don't we go ahead and we can jump back. Thank you for that. Maybe if people are interested, we can try a little bit afterwards there. So, very cool stuff. Okay, so With that, we were trying to sort of focus in on sort of the really key bits. So really just want to have you sort of take a look at the bot framework, really take a look at how you can start to bring WebSDK into some of your experiences, and really think about how you can build these solutions out to help drive sort of even more success with Office inside of your organization. As I mentioned, there are a bunch of other sort of pieces of content that are around in sessions that are going on. I definitely encourage you to check out the on-demand session that David recorded to go into sort of even more detail on some of the bot framework pieces. And obviously, you can go check out the developer portal for sort of more information there. So with that, take a look there. And then wanted to leave some time for Q&A if anybody has them. If you do have a question, we have some mics in the front. Please try and use those since we are recording. Otherwise, I'll try and repeat back the question if there are any. Any questions?
I came specifically for the HoloLens aspect. So if we could follow up, I'm an MVP, and I'd love to follow up and be able to do some more Q&A in regards to what I can do to move forward with integrating with that.
So awesome.
There's a lot of cool, great ideas. So I love that you brought that in, because that was a really good surprise. I thought I was going to have to ask, out of the blue, so good job.
Excellent. Any other questions, comments? Yeah, question in the front.
Hi. I use UCWAS since long time, since the beginning. And I'm wondering if SDK for UCWAS is planned.
So the web SDK is basically a client SDK for UCWAS. So there isn't a separate SDK for it. But I think what you'll actually see from us as we sort of look forward is as we bring out communications, you're going to see us put more of those things directly through Graph as the discovery for that. And so we'll continue to be supported through WebSDK and putting those things together. But I think as we think about the forward story for RESTful interfaces, it'll be bringing more of the Graph pieces into the mix there.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
So is the web SDK the only SDK for UWP?
Is the web SDK the only SDK? What we showed you on UWP today is effectively an early proof of concept. We aren't announcing anything for UWP right now. So today, WebSDK works for Angular environments, and you can try that out. There's some things that we've done with Xamarin as well that can help in terms of delivering native projections on top of that. But today, yes, the Angular-based WebSDK is probably your best bet if you're trying to get something going on UWP. Good question. Thank you. Any other questions?
Was the doctor to patient relationship, was that across different tenants or within a same tenant? And do you support like a business to consumer model?
Excellent question.
Or a partner model?
Excellent question. So we can talk through some of that. With the remote advisor capabilities that we released in February, one of the capabilities that we introduced was actually something called dynamic guest access. And so maybe, Bill, you want to talk a little bit about sort of how you're using dynamic guest access for that?
Yeah, so the anonymous join is what we refer to it as internally. The patient comes in, an ad hoc meeting is created on the fly when the patient requests to join. That ad hoc meeting information is then transferred back to the doctor's side and also put into the iOS app. That ad hoc meeting is then used by the iOS SDK to join, and then the doctor can join as an authenticated user. If we needed additional users, let's say a consult or something like that from an external doctor, we can send them a link and they can come in through the standard Skype web client, or if they're an authenticated user, they could come in that way as well.
So when you're looking at the B2C scenarios, one of the key things is that ability to control access for people that are outside of your network. But don't use like this freestanding meeting link that you might send around if it was just a normal like schedule invite, because then that link is there and you can join 2 days before, 2 days after, whatever. So with dynamic guest access, it actually gives you as the app developer the ability to basically issue those tokens on a per session basis, and then manage that. So once the session is done, you can reject the token and start with a new one.
Yeah, and we spin it up just as an ad hoc meeting, just like that. So
yep.
Works out well.
Awesome. Good question. All right. Any other questions? Excellent. Well, we are late in the day on Thursday, and there's a party ahead, I hear. So I'm going to let you guys go for that one. I'll stick around for a few minutes if you have any other questions you want to talk about offline. But otherwise, thanks for coming up.